Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to a very special Christmas episode of Two in the Think Tank.
Ho, 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 ho.
That was the ghost of Christmas past.
Coming up.
Later on.
Later
in the future.
That's a little thing. Flash forward to the ghost of Christmas past. You know, really, was that the first clip show? We'll get to that later in the program. You're listening to Two in the Think Tank. I'm Andy.
And I am Alistair George William Trombley Birchall, and this is the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I don't know if we said that, but
yes.
We gotta goddamn introduce the guest, because we're not people who put off introducing guests.
I was hoping to leave it till the very end as like a reveal.
At who it is.
Yes, yes. Maybe not have him say anything.
Oh.
And then if people can guess from the way it's affected our...
But he's sort of already farted my
I already did the fart noise. Yeah, people can tell. They know. It's very specific.
Into the mic. Mm. You know, and people know your mouth farts.
Mm. Mm. That's right. Yeah. I'm famous for them.
And
I thought you guys are sort of, you know, you guys are lefty media elites. So I thought I'd bring the tone down immediately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, definitely. The Greens are not going to have us back at their banquet. The end of year sort of steamed pumpkin and you know, an oil party.
I mean, why would you steam it if you're then just going to put it in oil? I mean, just fry it and then at least get the benefit of the fry.
No, because then you get rid of, you break up a lot of those sort of, those double bonds and things like that. And oleic acids and a lot of the sort of the important lipids in there that, you know, that they
so you break up the lipids and then you fry the lipids.
No. That's the reason why you don't fry the oil, because you get it too hot and then the lipids break up and then they lose a lot of their good properties. Don't you guys know anything about
like the
Mediterranean?
Beatles.
Mm. Yeah, the Beatles. Yeah, the Yoko was the frying process of the Beatles. Mm. And John was sort of...
Yes,
yes.
A potato.
What was the death of Stuart Sutcliffe? What was that in the cooking
that
process?
That was peeling the carrots, which apparently you shouldn't do, because I think a lot of that, a lot of the goodness is in the skin.
In the skin,
yeah. Mm. And then, who's the guy who shot the producer who shot a woman in the head?
Big hair,
John
Phil
Wilkes
Spector.
Booth. John, Phil Spector. Yeah,
Phil Spector.
Wall of Sound.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. He was MSG.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So. Anyway, this meal, nobody knows this, but the history of the Beatles is actually a masala curry.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, that explains their trip to India.
Yeah. If you follow it closely enough, the whole thing is just a recipe for masala. I know. Mm. And it was the smell of the masala that drove the young women crazy.
That's what they led them to faint because they weren't used to, you know,
spicy
food, and then that's England. For
well,
you.
It looks like the prophecy is going to come true, and we're actually not going to introduce our guest until the end of the podcast.
You know what? You kept on rolling, and I considered not saying anything. It may have actually happened.
Look, to be honest, you're going to have to. I've forgotten your name.
No, you can do it. Alistair, okay. You can do it.
Hello and welcome to the show, Mr. Nick Mason.
It's me. Hi, guys.
Thank you. And I'm sorry if I've already veered this into a really bad, weird, sort of strange place, possibly a ditch maybe that we may not recover from.
No, we're definitely going to recover.
We're going to recover?
We just keep digging down and
that's
eventually.
True. And there might be one of those underground sort of, you know, like those like one of those salt caves that, that sort of sinkholes fall into?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
so we can go deeper.
Yeah, we could go deeper under there. And under there, there'll probably be something.
Something good.
Yeah, maybe mm-hmm. another...
certainly more words.
I mean, what else is... I don't know. Is there anything else other than good?
Yeah, no, those sort of white, slimy creatures from that movie, The Descent.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Me neither, but mm-hmm. I was very also scared not. By the trailer.
No?
No.
Were they ghosts? Ghosts yep. aren't slimy.
Ghosts are very slimy.
Oh, okay.
Ectoplasm.
Yeah, okay, so but at what point... Like, so ectoplasm is real. Is yes. like real matter.
Uh-huh.
Like yes. you know what I mean? Like in the world of ectoplasm yes. uh-huh. existing.
Right. Yep.
Ectoplasm is real matter.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
yes.
right? But
yes.
then there's a part of them that is sort of like
phantasm.
Phantasm. So is that really the other thing? Or you are oh no, I'm so sorry. Look, a lot of people
this is
think
from the
that...
first 10 minutes of Ghostbusters. This is
also but this is so wait, the phantasm
it's interesting that like within the talking about the occult, we consider like if you can justify something as having been in Ghostbusters, like it becomes a ghost fact.
Mm, that's
you know,
right.
Like it's all lies, mm. but it certainly the things that were in Ghostbusters, at least like you could cite them as a reference.
That's
on,
true.
If not Wikipedia, then like some sort of fan-based Wikipedia.
Yeah,
which is like one step removed from reality.
So, do you think in the end, maybe the things that they were busting about ghosts was myths?
I mean, it would have been a different film.
Mm.
If they'd sat down and then instead of using those laser guns to trap the ghosts, they'd use them to carve a proof onto the wall of the building explaining why ghosts do not exist, which I almost did try to do that to my wife Carly, and I got nowhere.
Carve something into her?
Well, no.
With a laser?
I would have had more success.
Yeah.
I sat down. I felt like I should be able to empirically prove, mm-hmm. just through conversation, that ghosts do not exist. And and she stymied me at every turn. It was very frustrating.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, because you found the limits of your knowledge. Is that what it was?
I refuse to accept that, Alistair. I think I found the limits of my rhetoric in the context of the car park we were in, and I will go. I will accept no further defeat than that.
Well, look. To be honest, if I was to lose an argument, I wouldn't mind using the limits of knowledge itself rather than my knowledge.
Oh,
but
I see.
The limits
that's quite
good. You know, of the ability to prove things. As anyway, look. The important thing here is. Ghost Mythbusters, a sketch idea.
Well, here's a twist on a Mythbuster thing, mm-hmm. right? Because I think it's timely.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
sure.
to take this on, right? And I think Ghost Mythbusters is very, very good.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
I was wondering, what about this? Okay. Yeah. Things My Mum Told Me Busters, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, you got your team and you just try and like, bust things that your mum told you, like you've got to close the screen door.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Or the bugs will get in.
Okay.
All right. Or don't spoil your appetite.
That's something.
Okay. Back to Ghost Mythbusters.
No. What about sort of a fact busters type thing? So okay. It is a mom.
Yes.
And then, but she's looking at things like Western medicine.
Sure.
And she's proving to you why it's bullshit.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's proving it to you sort of through conversation at a family gathering? Or is she proving it to you through like a series of Facebook messages? How's she proving it to you?
I think...
I mean, obviously in a very rigorous way.
Look, I think that it's a piece to camera. So it's her possibly standing... She's not standing in a kitchen because that's where... mothers belong, mm-hmm. but that's just where she does a lot of her talking from.
Okay.
Right? And she's wearing an apron not because she's cooking, but
oh,
that's
dear.
it just stops her from getting things on her clothes. Like sometimes it just oil because she's actually loves working tinkering with cars.
They okay.
Oh, she's you've turned it around. That's
yeah.
right. That's very
go.
Good, yeah.
But when she like she's making a cup of tea, it's that's why she's in the kitchen because she makes a cup of tea, mm-hmm. and then she comes and she tells you why things like...
But she's not making the cup of tea because it's her role to do that.
Absolutely not.
She just loves a cup of tea.
She loves a cup of tea, and you shouldn't read anything further into that.
Great.
This podcast has become so defensive. In fact, the last few episodes,
she's such a terrible host that she hasn't offered anyone else a cup of tea.
Mm. Absolutely.
And that is really quite progressive,
isn't it, though?
Mm-hmm.
This is very defensively woke, this podcast. I enjoy it in that way.
Yeah. But then,
so woke it's broke, I reckon, is the expression.
Is that a great expression?
I mean, it's a new one that I've got. I just came up with then, I think it's like woke to the point of like not even being able to finish a sentence. There are so many caveats and prefaces. Mm. And look, I mean, this is just my opinion. I'm willing to be proven wrongs that that nothing ever gets done.
I reckon, put that saying straight into Phantasm.
Straight into Urban Dictionary.
I was just trying to reference an old thing. Look, is there a thing where it's a mom fact buster? I mean, we didn't really go into the examples of, you know, how she would... but, you know, like sometimes... as your mom, this is something my mom does. Sometimes I say something that I think is pretty... I'm pretty sure is true. But then my mom would go, "Oh, Alistair." Like, like so deeply offended that I would even consider this idea to be true. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's... true.
Like, but what kind of thing? Like, are we talking? Are they mostly medicine based things?
Like, it could even be just like, even that, like, just the fact that I may have read a scientific fact,
mm-hmm. yep.
or you know, a scientific theorem on the internet.
Yeah, right? It's enough to disprove it.
To disprove
that's
it.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So,
I think this is great. That in the way in which your mum. Busts whatever particular thing you're proposing.
I think that would be a great catchphrase too. Oh, Alistair. We can make some t-shirts about that. Alistair is the viewer as a whole. It's the viewership is Alistair.
Right. Yeah, I think that's good. Yeah, hello, Alistairs.
In a way, we're all... Oh, Alistairs.
Yeah, oh, Alistairs.
Oh, Alistairs.
Yeah. Hello, oh, Alistairs. Alistairs.
Yeah, I think you know, we could get various different Alistairs to write in with possible facts to
So only the people show. Who are called Alistair are actually allowed to get questions answered.
Well, I think it's like the what the
fuckers.
They're just, you know, whoever listens to this is a no Alistair.
Is a no Alistair. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alistair. I think we should cast your mum.
Really?
Into a pit. So, I'm
that
sorry.
That really took a turn. Was that the Ghost of Christmas Past's return?
And look, if you could put a little starsterix and mention whatever the thing was that I said, just so that it doesn't die.
Cast,
you know,
cast
totally.
My mom into a pit. A pit. That
well,
pit?
I think
I
said about busting something else. I can't remember what it was. Things your mum said busted. So, like, I mean, this goes both ways.
Mm. Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah.
I mean, on account of how woke we are, we're covering all the angles. I just even feel uncomfortable using the word woke. I'm worried that using the word woke is extremely unwoke.
And I think it is, because we've co-opted it from probably another culture.
From what I've heard, it might be from.
Choose your words carefully.
No, exactly. I'm like, oh, I don't even know how to say this. Yeah. From another culture.
Yes. I think if there's anyone who's going to get to the bottom of where woke comes from, it's us three. Let's work on this right now. Let's get to the bottom of it. And that's a new idea. That's a new sketch. It's called Getting to the Bottom of It. And it's where three white guys sit
three
around and just try and get to the bottom. Three proctologists. Thank you.
Yeah. Which...
no.
Is the busting things your mom says the Alistair response? Oh, look, this is it's so dumb. It's like I'm making two YouTube channels that are warring, and it's a mother and child warring YouTube channels.
Right,
kind of situation.
I get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're not actually related. They're two warring brands. I feel
great. It's a son who's got something in for his mom.
Mm-hmm.
But he's projecting that onto sort of Alistair mom,
mm-hmm.
and it's a mom who's got a problem, I guess, with the world and reality. And
that is a real Alistair thing to say.
Yeah, yeah, and she's just fighting truth.
I think There is a sort of an extension of this in like the awarding of like a Nobel Prize for mum proofs of things, you know, like for her for her work in reading articles your aunt sent her, and her ongoing commitment to the first thing she finds when she Googles an idea.
Sharing an obviously photoshopped photo without fact-checking it first on Facebook. Yep.
Yeah. The commitment to chain letters.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I mean, even the fact that they're still going around at this point.
I think, you know, like snail mail chain letters.
No, I think, I mean, there must still
there's
be
gotta
some.
There's got to be one, right? There's got to be one left.
Yeah, I mean, there's
got
to be one at least continuing. Mm. But even just email. The fact that, you know, email has refused to die, but you know, it's definitely taken a bit more of a backward step, and the fact that, you know, any kind of chain letter has survived there.
Chain email would be tempting to call that chain mail, but that would lead to all sorts of confusion.
Mm.
I don't think it would.
No, I think it would. I think it would be a disaster. So, do you think that there is any like chain letters still going out there, like still circulating from like back when chain letters originally started, that could be considered to be an endangered species? Like, do you think that it might be necessary for us to in some way intervene to keep this chain alive? Like, and it would be quite tragic. Like, you know, if it was the last letter.
Endangered chain letters,
feel
yeah.
like it was Lonesome George, the tortoise that couldn't find love on the Galapagos Island.
Oh.
He was the last one of his species, and he lived to like 140 or something. And then,
oh, was he really the last of his species? Yeah. So there wasn't even any in a zoo somewhere?
No. Just the last one.
And he couldn't just have sex with it like a sort of slightly different type of
turtle? He tried. It didn't work. Didn't,
really?
Yeah. Didn't do it for
him.
Wouldn't fit. Do you think that a tortoise with an erection would sort of jack up like you're jacking up a car? And would getting a tortoise erect be the best way to change a wheel on a tortoise if tortoises had wheels?
I mean, it'd be certainly a useful thing to have in the boot of your car if you did need your own tire to change. Is an extremely horny tortoise, yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, it feels like in the X-rated version of the Flintstones, that's how they would have changed the wheels on that.
That even just the bottom of the automobile would be a tortoise with its legs up.
Yes.
And then you would just crank the dick.
Right. And you truly are jacking it up in that case.
Yeah, absolutely.
And is that where the phrase to jack it up comes from? From when cars were around and you
I mean it's crazy to think that even if it wasn't, then it would come from the idea of just masturbating a flaccid penis until it becomes erect. Is that where it would come from? Because I mean, that's already pretty graphic. I don't know.
I feel like I'm having feelings. I don't know. I feel
the
like
the thing is that you're feeling something.
Perhaps the Flintstones was cancelled before they reached their great industrial revolution, which was just a series of Rube Goldberg-esque devices around various animal erections.
Because that would have been the incidence of hydraulics and pneumatics.
It would have really taken their things to a new. They could have been able to lift very heavy things.
Mm.
What kind of corkscrew dicks did early mammals have? Probably very good ones, powerful ones.
Absolutely, and then that brings in sort of like twisting motion. You could sort of twist. Right.
You've got a pivot point now, don't you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The axle. Oh, they already had that.
They had
the axolotl
with an erection.
Yes.
Absolutely. Which was an erection that could live both on land and in the water.
Yeah.
You know, which I guess he. The tortoises go in the water or just a little bit? They just kind of like being wet, but they don't have the flippers, so they don't go in too deep, right?
I think they probably yearn for the deep, but I think, you know, they're wise enough, they're old and wise enough to know their limits. And so, that is the knee.
I mean, is there something in a sort of a dirty Flintstones, but which it doesn't involve, it isn't like a sort of dirty Flintstones, and like you go to Pornhub and you type in Flintstones as a keyword, and then you find just pebbles having sex with, you know, Dino or something like that. So, I'm sorry, I even said that. I don't know why.
Is Pebbles the kid?
Oh, I know, but let's just picture her. Like, do you know those future episodes?
Well, let's not picture. Let's not picture.
Okay, don't picture. Well, I mean, yeah, anyway. But it's a filthy Flintstones in which the you know, the genitalia of animals were used for different things, you know.
I think from our point of view, like actually creating that and creating like a, you know, like having to watch an animation in which animals' dicks are used and stuff, I just don't think anyone wants to see that. There might be some comic value in, I mean, oh, sorry, obviously people do want to see that. Obviously. Yeah,
I think it would be without a doubt the most viewed thing we would ever be have done, which I don't think is that high a bar to clear for us. But I think, you know, in many ways, like think of the foreskins that people could live in.
Okay.
In this, like, it's sort of a hammock kind of, kind of like sleeping bag type situation. You could sort of transport.
You pull that down, you roll that out, and you flop that down onto the ground, you crawl in it, and you have a bivouac off.
Bivouac off. Or if you were trying to do space travel.
Yes.
With these animals.
Okay, this is quite good. Flintstones in space. I love it.
And
how are they getting there, Alistair?
Jetsons in prehistoric times.
Okay.
Oh, the Great Switcheroo. Wow.
I am sure there was a crossover for those shows, right? That must have happened. But the fact that there was shouldn't stop us from doing a little, have a little fun with that.
Well, I'm just thinking, even if this was all
timely.
Even if this is all we were thinking about doing, and I'm sorry if we're not leaving as many, if we're just blabbering something. This is the pressure that comes from not knowing where you're going, and you're like, keep talking. How, first of all, would they launch, you know, because they're using dinosaurs of sorts to launch, to get escape velocity so that they can get into space.
Yes.
But then also, how do they shelter themselves from the cold horribleness of the vacuum of space? Mm. Which I guess at that time they would have thought there was an ether. Maybe. I'm not sure. Still. I don't know where their technology was up
yeah,
to.
Yeah, what theory of light did they subscribe to during the era of Flintstones?
Absolutely.
Did they think that light was tiny dinosaurs getting into your eyes?
Definitely, without a doubt.
Or coming out of your eyes.
But all that we know for
sure...
I think
the horribleness of space, by the way, is a funny idea. You said space is cold and horrible. And I think the idea that we could somehow measure the horribleness of space is quite a fun... concept, okay. Yeah. Like, you know, because it is it that there are like a number of existing metrics that contribute to the horribleness, like the coldness,
the darkness,
yes, the emptiness, and then also the unknownness.
Oh yeah, all these
which is another existing metric. The
Of course, yeah. Well, it's the amount of uncertainty, you know, and information is supposed to be the decrease in uncertainty. So the unknownness must be the increase. Uncertainty, sure.
And or is that there is it that there is a universal like constant out there that we can measure, like much like temperature, that is horribleness, right? And like could we have some kind of like a barometer, but for horribleness, and wherein would that apply? Possibly be quite good on real estate websites.
Oh yes,
yeah, that would be quite good. I'm
the proximity of the toilet to say the kitchen area,
right?
Is a good one, I think.
That is very good.
Actually, that's quite good. That if you could just come up with an algorithm for real estate, into which you just plug in a whole lot, you go out there with your tape measure and your whatever else, and you do a big equation.
A lot of them a lot of the variables would definitely be toilet
based.
Things like, is there a fan in your toilet, and is there one of those windows that doesn't open?
Yeah.
Yes, great.
The number of times you have to flush the toilet to get rid of like a moderately plus sized shit, I think is a contributing factor.
Absolutely.
Because I think the frequency with which you give up on a shit in a toilet.
Wow.
is like a... probably a good indicator of your quality of life.
Is this mid-shit or is this flush?
This is the flushing.
Okay, great.
I don't think anyone gives up mid-shit.
Sometimes, you know, you just go, fuck it. Forget this.
Or you can stay in there.
Yeah, nah. Yeah. You had your chance like that.
I think the instances of you're walking perhaps to the door of your apartment and you go past a window and there's just a naked man just playing video games right. in his front room. I think that's, you can add that to the metric.
In another apartment or in your apartment?
Ideally in another apartment, but I feel there's a different scale.
Versions of this.
Yeah. And it could also just like, sometimes if you have proximity to a person who is just a sort of a layabout in the local neighborhood who might be have a chance of being nude with a Game Boy near your window.
Mm, sure.
Anyway, that.
I think there's a higher version of it as well, which is where you walk past the window and there's a naked man playing computer games in your living room, and that person is you from the future because you've seen through a portal, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like because I think like real estate would be made much worse if like you kept looking through doors and windows and getting a glimpse of your very depressing future.
I mean, a house haunted by spirits seems bad enough, but
right.
a house haunted by your own future,
yeah, your own impending failure,
impending, yeah, would definitely increase the horribleness indicator on there. And a house that doesn't have sort of floor insulation.
Oh, sure.
That's also real bad.
That is bad. Yeah. Oh, a vortex into your despairing future, and also that floor thing you mentioned. Both are quite bad.
Like little bits of cold air coming between the wood panels.
The boards. Right. That draft that just comes up, like it's the opposite of in-floor heating.
Mm. Yeah.
You're like,
and what has happened in your life if there's a drafty floor, but you're still naked in the future.
In the future,
playing
exactly.
video games.
That
feeds
into it and makes it even worse.
Yeah, right.
That you haven't gone anywhere. And if you can look through the future, through the portal, and then see that he clearly hasn't done anything about that draft.
Except for remove clothes and just get a hobby.
That's how defeated you are.
Yeah.
Because that'd be really tragic. Like, you look through a vortex into the future, all right, and then you see yourself... Mm-hmm. Looking through in the future, looking through a further vortex to deeper in the future, and he's so dead inside that it doesn't even affect him, right? Then, I mean, that's like, because you've given up, right?
Wow,
like,
wait, you truly have. You're now seeing two future versions of yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Both more defeated
More defeated than the other. And you, like, because you just looking through into the future, you could say, well, you know, at least I'm still alive. I can obviously afford an Xbox. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I'll get it back together. Maybe I'm just going through a tough time. But then you see him looking into the future further and continuing to despair.
So is this a sketch on the unavailability of sort of apartments in the inner city?
Right, okay. Yes.
And you were forced to take a place that had a vortex in it that saw... into your own future.
Yeah.
And there was a naked version of you playing a thing, and it didn't have underfloor insulation.
Yes.
Not only that, but it also had another vortex seeing into that.
Well, it's just because there are vortexes that obviously within his vortex, abide. Right?
It's like when you go into one of those lifts and there's a mirror on both sides.
Right.
Of course, and you can keep seeing on. Yeah. That makes sense. So,
I think that's great, and I think the idea of like how appalling like real estate can still be and still just costs so much because it just adds to the
fact that you've seen a vortex that displays your own future, but clearly you've still taken the apartment.
Right. Yeah. Because it's reasonable, and like, you know, and you've been looking for places all day, honey.
Still, yeah.
And by the way, I noticed that you're not there when I look through
this
vortex.
It's just me, and I'm eating home brand 2 minute noodles
out of the packet.
Mm-hmm.
The kettle's just there.
Yeah.
Still, only $20 more a week.
That's right. Yeah.
And you get to live within 10 minutes walk of the city.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, some good cafes around here.
That's true, yeah.
All right. Well, that's down. I don't know. Did we get to the end of the horribleness of space? I mean, I wrote it down. I don't know if it is a sketch, but I guess the measure of the horribleness of space would be sort of the inverse of whatever the most livable city factors have.
Right, sure. Okay, so, in space, certainly the public transport is terrible.
Correct.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. But all transport through space is government funded at the moment.
That's true. You know?
Yeah. Right. So it's technically it's public transport, the shuttle and so on. And they even call it a shuttle, which
That's
is
true.
It's very
democratic,
transport.
Isn't it? Yeah.
So it's very similar to like the kind of ride you would get like to the airport or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
There's free Wi-Fi on board. It's incredible.
That's nice. Yeah. But you have to watch ads
that video
from Dracula's
cabaret restaurant.
Like when you're returning to Earth, when you're coming back down in the shuttle, there's that. Okay, so that's definitely a sketch. The like you're coming to Earth, right? Oh, welcome back to Earth. Here a vibrant planet with many things to see and do.
In order to pay for space travel, the government has had to start showing astronauts ads.
Yes.
On the way in.
But exclusively for cabaret restaurants.
Dracula's Cabaret Restaurant in downtown Melbourne. What a place for a spook and a feed. Try and hold on to your meal as ghouls and ghastlies fumble their way through a script written by an idiot. Is that? No, I've lost my job at the advertising agency.
No, that's fair. That's.
I mean, look, just saying the words fumble their way through a script written by an idiot, I feel like that's going to come back and haunt me in some way.
What, just saying those words that somehow they're going to appear in a, like, you know, like that Milo video that they compiled all the awful things that he said during, you know, about how he was for pedophilia or whatever it was.
Oh, God.
Right? But your version will be just like finding things where Andy admits that he's no good.
Yeah.
All your moments of weakness, and then someone's going to show it to you and force you to watch it, and then it's going to be enough to just break your own spirit? Or do you think it'll make everybody else lose respect?
Well, it's
you?
Interesting because my spirit is so self-deprecating already that, like, if it could somehow be used against itself, you know, like you do in jiu-jitsu to use somebody's strength against themselves, if I could be self-deprecating about my self-deprecation, which sometimes I think that my self-deprecation is all just a facade to try and make other people like me more. So I guess in that way, I do doubt it.
Well, I mean, look, Nick, you seem like a confident man.
Thank you.
Do you have any self-doubt?
Look.
He's pausing.
Not so much these days.
That's
I think
great.
I faked it for a really long time and it just crossed the threshold and now I'm self-confident
nice...
for real.
Yeah.
I spent many years with no self-confidence at all.
Yeah.
Now I have far too much self-confidence.
I think that's a really good place to be at. I think that like I project a fair bit of self-doubt, whereas deep down I have a fair amount of confidence in myself, but then over that is a thick layer of self-doubt.
Right.
So some of the self-doubt is fake.
Mm, yes.
Because and behind it I can be outwardly self-doubtful, because inside I feel there's a rock-solid core of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
But inside that, maybe it's like a jelly center of self-doubt. It's, I guess it's like a gobstopper, but with a jelly center.
Oh,
it's got many layers. I'm trying to find something with layers that has a jelly center, but I couldn't think of those ones that Starburst created.
The jelly centers.
Starburst jelly center.
Starburst. But there's also nothing rock hard in there, so that's... I guess everything is...
Well, I mean, I guess science doesn't know until we send some sort of a probe down into the heart of a starburst jelly center to determine, you know, maybe we could use seismographs or something, you know?
Like the things that you measure earthquakes with.
Yeah, yeah. That's
send one of those into a...
Yeah.
A jelly-centered starburst, yes.
Like the big thing with the needles flowing.
Correct, yes.
And so you would try
it's
to put
on
that
the side of a dam, for example.
And so you would put that inside a tiny starburst jelly center.
Yes.
And then,
Alistair,
what would you learn from
that?
No,
it's really clear. You're just repeating sentence back to me, basically.
But wait,
I mean,
wouldn't
this isn't
you get,
good content.
Wouldn't you just get jelly on the paper? Or is it a digital one, or is it sort of one of those analog ones?
It's an analog one with big pens on it.
Yep.
Pens on an arm that jiggles. all backwards and forwards. Yeah. It's, I know.
Would you get a smaller one or would you get a really big?
You get a full one.
Yep.
You get a full one.
A full big one.
But in a normal sized Starburst?
Yes, yes.
How are you, else are you going to get an accurate reading?
How are you picturing this?
Make a giant one. That's
it won't be represented. Yeah, it'll be meaningless.
Okay, but what part would you start putting into the jelly center?
You like, just get it in there.
Or like a wall?
The sharpest bit, probably.
Okay, so like a corner or one of the needles.
Oh, yeah, you're going to use one of the flat edges, Alistair.
Well, you could. You could just keep pushing until it bursts. I mean,
which is the thing it does.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, we don't know until we start.
Start. Burst.
Start burst.
Oh, God. Have you seen those videos of it's just someone's gotten a hold of themselves like a giant drill press or like a water, like one of those water cutters, and they just cut. They just crush a thing.
Yeah,
like pretty good, right?
It's pretty much the best videos on the internet.
Yeah,
I mean, it's something that delivers exactly what it says it's going to deliver.
Will anything ever defeat the drill press? Unlikely. Yeah.
Well, that's right, especially if you keep putting things that won't defeat it.
Right.
You know?
I like it because there's no irony there, you know? It's honest.
Oh, you know? But do they ever try to, like, they try to battle two drill presses? Like,
I don't think they ever have. Yeah. No.
That's where it needs to go.
Okay, so it's the 47,000 watt 2KX Mark III shredder, but will it bounce?
Like you push it.
Oh, just
off
mash
it.
Okay, yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, that's where the future of YouTube is going.
We've got to
just mash up everything at random.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then also, I think maybe this
water cutter can cut through anything, but can it cut through YouTube sensation?
Frenchie.
Oh, Australia! I don't know what Frenchie says.
Australia! It's mostly videos of him yelling the countries that he's in at the time.
And I feel perhaps he can defend against that. Like, the more likes he gets on his next video,
sure.
he can have fans come in front of, like, step in front of him.
Throw themselves
in front of him and deflect the water cutter, perhaps.
Can it cut through his layers and layers of, like, self-promotion? I don't know. Whatever. But YouTube mashups is the future.
I think
right?
so. Yeah.
It's like crossover episodes for Law and Order and what was that one with the casino?
Las Vegas. Yeah.
Did that happen? I think they were the same
universe potentially. Yeah.
Las Vegas. I definitely saw crossovers with Las Vegas and something else.
Wait. When you say did it happen, do you mean like there's a chance that at the end of Las Vegas it was all a dream?
Potentially, sure. Yeah. Or the dream of an autistic boy. Oh, that's often the way it goes. You guys have talked about that before on this
sure
podcast,
have.
I feel.
Sure. Yeah.
The Tommy Westfall universe.
Well, often the way it goes.
Well, because this is what I'm wondering with this new Roseanne reboot that they're proposing, is that they're saying that they're going to bring back the original cast, but at the end of Roseanne,
oh, here we go. Spoiler alert, everybody, yeah.
Mm. Right?
Because it was a dream because actually her husband had died.
Yeah.
And she was writing her life story as if he were still alive and they'd won the lottery.
But that wasn't the whole season thing, right? Oh, like, no, that only kicked off at a certain season.
Yes.
So maybe this will be going from then.
Was it... But Dan will have died? Was it Dan?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that John Goodman?
Yes, it is, yeah.
That'd be interesting because they're also bringing him back.
Yeah.
So maybe, as
but
it
they
goes,
could be bringing him back as a corpse.
Yes.
So instead of just dreaming and writing a book, she kind of just went a little bit insane and just kind of stored his body difficult to move just somewhere in the house.
Here's so a it's a Breaking Bad-esque thriller in which she has to prevent the authorities from discovering that she's got the corpse of her husband in the house.
It's going to be called Stashing Dan.
Yeah, I think that's good. I guess calling him Dan these days makes him more... like more likely to be confused for Dan Aykroyd because I feel like John Goodman is easily confused with Dan Aykroyd. Don't you think he's one of those kind of like Gary Busey,
Nick Nolte
kind of situations? Yeah. Dan Aykroyd, John Goodman.
One of those situations.
Yeah,
it's a Nick Busey situation.
Mm. Yeah, like a Jennifer Garner, and then the other girl that was in Dude, Where's My Car? kind of
Shannon Elizabeth. Is that Shannon Elizabeth?
Could be Shannon Elizabeth, yeah. Or American Pie lady.
Yeah, mm. Or maybe she wasn't in Dude, Where's My Car?
Oh, I don't think I was thinking of Shannon Elizabeth. She's a girl who looks more like Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, well, yeah. You can see we're all.
It could
already...
have been. I could be thinking yep. of two Jennifer Garners.
In a way, I was like,
we, always confused.
We were set up to fail.
Yeah,
in this
Jennifer Garner
situation.
And Dude, Where's My Car, and then Jennifer Garner
in Alias.
Electra in Aliens
or Electra. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Is she in Aliens?
No, Alias.
Oh, Alias.
The spy TV
was
show.
Was that her?
Yes.
Really?
You thought it was the other woman, but it's her.
Really? I just thought Alias was some nobody.
No, it's the great Jennifer Garner.
Well, which one's Jennifer Connelly?
She was in The Rocketeer and The Hulk.
The Rocketeer, like that movie with the guy with the...
Rocket backpack.
The rocket backpack.
Yes.
And the
weird very
helmet.
Same, yes.
Was it the helmet from Ant-Man?
No.
Okay.
How dare you?
I know, but I'm just see, like a obviously like a pre Ant-Man helmet, you know.
It's got big buggy eyes, if that's
it
what you're
have
asking.
Big
yes.
Buggy. It's exactly
yes.
what
if
I was asking.
If that's your only criteria
yeah.
of that, then
big
yes.
Big buggy eyes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, can I go back to something?
Yes.
Oh, I don't
right?
know. I think where we're at right now is good.
We're
it's
in a good
nice,
place.
Warm,
just yelling
place.
About big buggy eyes.
here's a thing I thought, right? So is it possible that, because I mean, the example that we gave of the, it was all the dream of an autistic boy was Saint Elsewhere.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So is it possible that you would ever go to a doctor? Like, because what that at least means, right, is that in the show Saint Elsewhere.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Where none of those people who were sick in that hospital were actually sick.
Oh.
Right? So is it possible that you would go to the doctor and be diagnosed with a terminal illness and they would say, and the doctor would tell you, look, it's not looking good, but there is some hope. This could all just be the dream of an autistic boy.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Looking at a snow globe. Mm. Now, we're going to have to do some tests, obviously, yes. to determine that. So we're going to take a biopsy and...
Can you remember any of your past prior to this?
Exactly.
Can you only remember your past up until the point after you came in the waiting room?
Into the hospital, in which your story intersected with mine.
Do you recall ever being looked at by a small autistic boy? Maybe so that he could have formed some kind of idea?
Yeah. Do you resemble some sort of advertising mascot that he could have
incorporated into... we really should have realised it was all a dream when the Kool-Aid guy came in with the third stage lung cancer.
Third stage. Oh, the funniest stage of lung cancer. Anyway, I've lost my grandfather to that.
Do you? Do you...
I smoked 2 packs a day for a long time.
Anyway, really?
Yeah.
Anyway. Wow. And he was fine.
And he was fine because, in the end, he was just...
He was just the Michelin man.
He was just the Michelin man, which my dad had worked at. And so my dad had just dreamed him up.
Yeah.
It was so great when we found that out.
It was a huge relief for
everyone. It was a huge relief that he had dreamed up his father-in-law and the ailments that ails them.
What about... Hang on.
Yes.
Sorry. That. No, it's gone. It's slipped away. You'd do some tests to try and work that out. I mean, if you're asking questions, do you remember ever playing a different character in a different TV show?
Oh, absolutely. That would be a good one, yeah.
Yeah.
Did
you even possibly appear as a doctor in an earlier season of this show in the background of a scene?
Mm.
And yet here you are as an unrelated character who is suffering from a different syndrome. Mm.
Do you feel that the illness you have ultimately only exists to... so that I can work through something in my own mind about my own insecurities?
Right, I mean,
because
that...
then if it's relevant to me, ultimately, then you're probably just part of a dream,
I
really.
Mean,
so just before I move on, do you have any messages for me or any kind of metaphor?
Before I move on to the next patient, which I will.
Yeah.
I think that's really interesting. Like, you know, that you would go to a doctor, you would get a terrible prognosis, and you would say, I just don't know how to process this. I mean, why me? Why does this have to happen to me? And the doctor would say, well, my father died of this disease, and obviously it's something that I need to confront in order to get some kind of a closure. So, yeah. I guess being able to accept that I can't help you will help me ultimately to accept that I couldn't have helped my father. I'm going to learn a lot from this. So that's probably why you have this disease.
Mm. I like the idea of a house MD kind of situation where every week a patient comes in and he just deals with them metaphorically.
Yeah,
he
doesn't deal with them medically. The episode.
Yeah, right.
But it's like the everything happens for a reason, doctor. It's like we've got to figure out why you've got cancer. It could be that's to help Antoine, the race car driver, to find the inspiration that he needs to beat the Indy 500.
Right. Yeah, if he could be thinking about you on the start line and the impact that you've had,
but obviously
on
it's
his
very
life,
different. So
even
yeah,
in the short time you've known each other,
we've really got to examine the characters that are currently in your life and the purpose.
I think that's really great. I think, like, you know, he could talk through some of the possible causes of the cancer, like, have you ever smoked? You know, have you, you know, sometimes asbestosis comes from people who've, you know, worked on or even come close to people who've been working on building sites. And if neither of those is the case, then the only other possible explanation is that it's as a plot point.
That's right.
I always, what about this, right? It's a related thing, but in movies, when you know characters are going to die, you can always work out who's going to die based on who has, like, the right amount of backstory. Like,
yes,
if you're invested in a character just enough, but not so much that, like, it's going to totally derail the plot.
Yes.
If they die, you're like, oh, damn. I'm really sorry.
Look, if I can spoil the plot of Fast and the Furious 8 for everyone, if you don't want it to be spoiled, but our main character Vin Diesel and his lovely girlfriend Michelle Rodriguez, they earlier on have a chat about wanting to have children. Are they ready to have children?
Yes.
But then it turns out Vin Diesel's girlfriend from a previous relationship and a movie arrives back on the scene with a child.
Sure.
And then, of course, the clock is ticking on that previous girlfriend because she is not contracted for any more movies. But it's a very convenient way
to get them a child without having to acknowledge that sex exists.
Yes, exactly.
Which the Fast and the Furious refuses to
That's
do.
That's right.
This is about cars. And NOS.
And still
coronas. About NOS?
Is NOS?
There's some NOS. Some NOS still happens. Yeah. Coronas are out.
Really? Coronas
are
out.
The corona is out.
I thought they could drink any beer as long as it was Corona.
No, it's out.
I think, was that the exact line? And was he referencing Henry Ford talking about
you can have any kind of car as long as it's black. Wow, maybe.
I mean, to be honest, that's the deepest thing in Fast and the Furious would be a Henry Ford reference, which is a car reference.
Yeah,
the entire thing is just a metaphor for
invention of the production line.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sort of rebirth of the Industrial Revolution.
What then? What would the submarine in the eighth movie be in terms of that metaphor?
There is a submarine.
There's a submarine that breaks through ice.
I think that's impending fatherhood.
That's impending fatherhood.
I think it is. Yeah.
In the sort of automation.
Oh, we're still doing Henry Ford.
No,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay.
I think that's the disruption brought about by the introduction of the Japanese manufacturers after World War II.
Of course. Mm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And fatherhood.
Yes.
Probably.
Those two things.
Because I mean, that would also impact on the sort of how productive your workers are.
You need a bigger car.
Absolutely.
You need an SUV.
You need a bigger car. Mm. And so I guess it's both helpful, but it's also hurtful because, you know, it costs you money, but at the same time, it's more powerful. You're sitting up higher.
Mm. Oh,
you know,
yes.
You're kind of more protecting your family. I'm really good at taking any idea and
turning it into a metaphor.
I was going to say driving it into a wall, which is another car.
Very good. Sorry, you were saying, Andy, about people who have backstory.
People who have too much backstory. Like, I mean, you know, it could even just tie into the one that we just discussed. But also, I thought maybe a character in a movie who realizes he's in a movie and doesn't want to reveal anything about his backstory to people or get too close to anyone because he's worried that it will, that he'll be the one who dies.
Or, yeah. Or he decides that he has to reveal too much.
Right, so that he's totally, like, invested in everything.
Or perhaps a guy who he keeps stumbling into sort of revelatory situations in which he's going to die, but then he has to add another trope on top.
Right.
Like, maybe he's a jock and he has sex with his girlfriend, but then he's, well, then in a horror movie, he's going to die now.
Sure.
Because he's been promiscuous, so he has to...
Yes.
He has to have a dying father.
Right. Mm. Right, something like if he has to avenge somebody,
mm-hmm.
that increases his likelihood of surviving.
That's true.
At least until the point of avenging.
And then he's probably going to die, so he's going to have to add another layer to that.
Right, yeah. Right.
Or even if something bad was to happen to him, so like if he was to hit his head and lose all his memories, they're not going to kill him then.
That's true, yeah. You know? Yeah.
He's like, I need to hit my head.
hit me.
And then later on, you know, he's like, after once he feels like he's in the clear, then he can get somebody to, like, that. Maybe that'll be the instruction. Once I'm in the clear, you hit me on the head again.
Yeah,
my memory should come back. Right.
Flooding back.
Mm.
And then I'll go and avenge the guy who got my dad. So
I think that's something. I think the guy who's continually sort of skipping through life, like protecting himself by constructing a plot such as that he is currently vital to the to the plot. You've just got to remain crucial to the plot. And then the only real risk to you is that the actor playing you dies in real life and they have to write you out one way or another, like in The West Wing.
But you could probably manufacture a situation in which you are recast.
Right.
Like plastic surgery. You get some plastic surgery, for example. Yep.
So if you spend a lot of time talking about how you want to get plastic surgery, that increases your chances of being brought back.
Yes, like, as a different actor.
That's interesting because... Like, in a way, getting recast is like the sitcom version of uploading your brain into a digital afterlife, right? Like, if you can just ensure, you know, if you come back as a, you know, you model your consciousness and come back as a machine, right? But if we can just get recast, then our characters will continue to live.
Absolutely. Especially also if he often talks about his fantasy of opening up a mechanics on a sort of a deserted island somewhere.
You know?
And so he's always imagining
right.
So then,
you've got a plausible reason to have gone away and then come back again.
Or even in the future, just have a different life that he can just, you know, it's a refuge that he can...
In that instance, he'd also have to make sure there weren't already any existing, perhaps abandoned mechanics on desert islands, because then they could bury him there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can't,
of course,
can't dream of it too hard, because otherwise they could kill you and then this is what he would have wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's got to pick something that can't already exist.
Yes.
This is the strategizing that comes up that is required for this sort of no loose ends method of survival.
Yes.
So as long as you have writers that really give a shit about not leaving any loose ends.
If we assume that we, like, it's possible that we are just characters in a sitcom, it's important that we live our lives in such a way that we can't be killed off.
Yeah.
Too easily, right? And actually, it's interesting because one of the things you would not want to do in that case is piss off the writers, right? Because if you make enemies of the writers, probably more likely to get rid of you.
Well, the fact that you're improving so much is really going to piss them
off. I know,
off.
And that's why it's such a delicate balance to strike.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you also don't want to be too sort of handsome or even maybe really too good of an actor, because then there's a chance that the actor playing you will move to Hollywood.
That's true. And then people won't accept the new version of you played by another actor.
Right.
And then you will be killed off. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's say you were the Holly Valance. Nobody ever accepted. Nobody ever accepted the
Holly Valance.
Holly Valance. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, I had a try. I said something out loud.
Yeah.
That's the name of my new podcast.
I had a try.
I said something out loud. I think we were at the end, unless anybody had anything to...
Look, I think we squeezed a lot out.
We squeezed, yeah.
Particular...
Absolutely.
I said some words. I didn't embarrass myself.
You in no way I would say embarrassed yourself.
I would have liked to have gone back to last extant chain letter. I think that would have been chain letter. But
to be honest, look, I think we can actually go back to it right now because it didn't actually get...
Written down
because, yeah, it was still... That happens a lot. Sometimes when I listen back to a few episodes, you go, there was four ideas just then. Yes. We forgot that we were doing all of them. All right, wait. Last chain letter.
Mm. Yes, okay. And so in the wild?
In the wild, yeah.
I mean, because it's like the thylacine, right? Like, if you want to believe that the thylacine exists, you have to keep believing that, you know, that there's at least two thylacines and that they keep encountering each other somewhere in the wilderness so that they're able to reproduce. So really, to believe that this chain letter still exists, we have to believe that this chain letter keeps managing to get posted to a complete idiot.
That's right, yes.
Who still uses snail mail and can be fucked walking to the post box.
Who believes that he can put a dollar in 10 envelopes and then send them to 10 different people. But one of them survives. And then it goes to another idiot.
But it's all these kind of like conservationists wearing khakis.
Yeah, they want to bring it back.
They're trying to track it down. Yeah. And they're like,
right.
You know, maybe they're even just kind of like hanging out at the post office and looking as the mail goes, anything look like a sort of a...
They're huddling over people's bins as they're about to throw a chain letter away. And they're like, oh no, you know, wouldn't it be fun to just...
Well, David Attenborough is sort of filming it and saying, sadly, we can't intervene.
He's laying down now.
There's a few lonely chain letters in a zoo.
Oh, it could even just be like a mini documentary, you know, like a, you know, sort of like those New York Times kind of op docs that they do. I don't know if you've seen those on YouTube. So it's like a 12-minute documentary on, you know, the last two chain letters. And maybe there's a few species. So there's the ones that are like an inspirational one, which is like, you know, and if you do this, it'll bring great things into your life. But if you don't, it will. Every person that you don't send this letter to will bring 17 years of bad luck.
So that's his ecological niche is preying on the...
Well, that's actually like, that's its will to like that. That's the only thing that keeps it alive, you know, as people's, anyway, whatever. But then there's other, you know what I mean? Like,
I know what you mean.
Sometimes you don't need to finish sentences.
That's true. Yeah. We all know what's going on.
Yeah.
We all get it.
Mansplain. That's why you don't finish sentences.
That's what podcast listeners love. They love to finish our sentences.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm. Thank you.
That's what brings them back.
Because you've been in a few podcasts.
I've been on
a few
podcasts in my time.
King of content.
I love content.
Are you the king of content?
Yeah, in a way, I'm the king of content.
It's nice to meet you.
Very welcome.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
We just shook hands, everyone. Yeah, that's going to be a T-shirt.
Yeah.
We're going to put that on Instagram. King it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be photos of us shaking hands. Mm. Which I'm going to put
it on Snapchat. There's going to be some lightning bolts. I'm going to draw around the handshake.
Yeah, maybe I could add a few gold rings to your hand. Because the king would
that's
have
right, he'd have gold rings.
King of content.
Kings are pretty showy. Yeah. You know, it's a bit tacky even. I guess the crown is really the king thing, right? Rings are not that.
It is.
Anyway, conservation of chain letters.
Well, I mean, you know, in the ecosystem of podcasts, though, like you are a big provider of biomass. And if you were to be like, you know, if you were to choke on a plastic bag, say, I'm not saying that's something you do in your own private life, but, you know, if you did for whatever reason, then the whole podcast ecosystem could collapse.
Could collapse at any moment. You're right.
Do you consider yourself a bit of a node, you know?
Well, I didn't till this point.
Yeah. Because, sometimes you hear, like, about, you know, they look at all the people who've caught, like a sexually transmitted disease.
Uh-huh, continue.
And they often it comes from you.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But, you know, I'm like, a non-stop party animal. Yeah, just try and stop me. You can't do it.
You know, but often there's, like...
The doctors, they tell me to stop. I won't.
There's one person who's connected to, like... 75% of them, and they call that person a node. Mm. You're that version, but in terms of spreading content on podcasts. Uh-huh,
sure. I mean, if you were to catch a transmittable disease, something that could be transmitted just by breathing, it probably could wipe out all the podcasters in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right? Like, especially because so much podcasting happens in confined spaces.
That's true, it does,
with poor ventilation.
In a way, it's almost, it gives hope to some people, I think.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. That I could be trapped with them on in a train car or something like that and they could...
Die.
Yeah.
I was going to say catch content.
Well, yeah, catch content, yeah.
Catch a great idea for a podcast. Yeah.
Man, do you have more ideas for podcasts? Have you ever thought about going solo?
No, I don't.
Don't ever do that.
That's awful. That's terrifying.
It would be too pure a content.
Yeah. You know? Oh, right. Like people can't, like the human body can't handle this kind of like
this amount
level,
of content. Yeah.
This intensity of content. You've got to dilute it.
So. You've got to cut meso. He's like, you're like heroin, but in podcast form.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And a disease as well. And you're also like a disease.
Like a node for heroin. Yeah. I'm going to go through the ideas today. I think maybe
how much of that was insulting?
None of it. I loved it all.
I meant all of it as a
Again, confidence level way too high. Yeah, I'm going to take it all as a compliment regardless.
Yeah. Okay, so we got Mom Fact Buster,
which
is a mom, you know, who just busts facts.
Great.
You know, scientific facts. They could be age old. She could go through some like mathematical proofs and tell you why they're bullshit.
Because she feels differently.
Yeah. I just don't believe that it could be like that.
Yeah. Mm. And what is this? Like she's looking at the that isn't anything. And then there's also within that, there's also this is either a spin-off or it's the alternate opposite show, which is
or it's a totally separate thing.
It
has value on its own.
Absolutely, it's just that it was asterisked rather than dashed.
Yeah,
you know, and this is busting things that your mom said, like don't make sure you close the screen door.
Yeah,
or else mosquitoes will come in.
I think like somebody doesn't close the screen door. Right, yeah.
No mosquitoes come in.
They're busted.
Busted.
Either that, or like they don't close the screen door, but then something horrible happens and they get crushed by a falling boulder.
See, that'd be much more surprising.
There you go. Yeah. And surprise is good.
Mm. I mean, like I guess it's kind of interesting to think of what, like, because nobody ever says why you shouldn't eat 30 minutes before you swim, like. Like I've been told that, but I've never been told what would happen.
Yeah, it's
and
a little
bit vague,
isn't
it? Would
it?
Be like you would drown or something like that, but it could be something like, you know,
great.
It could be something great, and they don't want good things to happen to you.
That's right.
Yeah, but it could be something sort of much more fantastical. You know, it could be. You know, it'll attract sort of
unicorns
to. But like to something unconnected to you, like to the local sort of plastic cheese factory, you know, things like that. And then you're like, well, no,
you can tell this kid grew up in Bega.
Yeah,
that's
but
it's all cheese and unicorns with this boy.
I mean, it's hard to explain that to your kids that, you know, if you do that, it's just that factory is important to the local community
and it provides
a lot of jobs.
Right.
And so if that was to go, then, you know, the unemployment rate in the town would sort of crash and then...
Right, so that's why
you don't go unicorns. Into it when you're explaining to kids. You just say, just don't eat, don't swim.
Yeah,
30 minutes.
I can't get into this as a whole thing. I don't have the time to explain the economics of, you know, cheese manufacture or the fact that all the people who work in cheese manufacture are obsessed with unicorns. Yeah. Like, and they'll just walk off the job if they see one, and they'll just follow them into the woods. You know, it's like.
Even the fact that we're 25 kilometers from a factory, I shouldn't even be saying the word unicorn because it might be overheard by a factory worker. And anyway, and then the other one is just it just says horribleness of space measured.
Yeah, I wonder if the sketch there will turn out to not be the horribleness of space, but rather that thing we were talking about, the horribleness of just like a rental situation or something.
Well,
like
that's what I've got next here, which is the real estate that was so bad I had to take a place with a
vortex
that
of
sees
despair.
Into my own sad future. You know? I mean, like, look, but, you know, it's still fine, like, you know. But wait, what
has
was...
a dishwasher?
Yeah, great. You know, that's okay.
Don't have to save a lot of time. Don't have to hand wash those dishes.
Or I see in the future the dishwasher is broken.
Wait, so what were you going to say about the horribleness of space measure? What that was going to be, or was that
there was that it was like measuring the horribleness of real estate based on and every house just has a factor, like, you know, out of 10,
it's just a number,
and then just represents how close the toilet is to the
okay, right, and so,
you know,
and so a house is in itself measured by, like, you know, like you could say this house is a 0.5 out of 10, which means it is equivalent to living in the horribleness of space.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then we've got space travel is being paid for by showing ads to for cabaret restaurants to the astronauts.
Yeah.
So this is because it's all government funded, and so the government's having to find ways to help pay for the thing.
But they can't privatize the systems, but they can privatize the entertainment.
Yeah, you know, like SBS started doing ads, so they felt like, you know, they could also force the astronauts to get sponsored for different things. And
no, it's not that they're getting sponsored, it's just that they're being advertised to. It's just that it's like it's like eight pairs of eyeballs, say, on the shuttle that are like guaranteed audience, and like, you know, they can't switch
if
off.
They each have a steak and a starter and a and like three glasses of wine, that is paid for itself.
So there's like an in-flight, there's a woman who comes up and down the aisle.
Oh, no, they have to go to the restaurant. This is later on.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, but they factored it in. They're like, well, if six of them go to the restaurant after the flight.
Yeah, that's not too bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, where can NASA get the money? Yeah. But I think in-flight sales on the shuttle as well is also like an angle.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they've got branded pens.
Oh, NASA absolutely! Yeah,
pens you can buy for like $5.
A little plushy astronaut of yourself.
Apparently, people are more likely to buy things like that in a plane, right? Like, you're more likely to spend money on like that. And if that is a factor of altitude, then like once you go into orbit, like that is a guaranteed sale.
Oh, that's
people
a sale.
People are buying that shit.
Mm. Yeah,
like you know, the lower the gravity, the higher the horribleness, the more likely you are to spend.
I know, but if that's the case, then that means, like, if altitude is related to people's gullibility to sales, then that means that there is a chance that one day these sort of, you know, like Virgin Galactic things will probably be paid for by just sales companies that will say, come on this trip for free, and then they go up there and then they're like, now here's a great option for a condo in Florida.
Yeah.
And people are like, something about being up here and seeing the Earth from the outside just makes me want to get
I mean, there's a vortex of despair in that condo.
But however,
so high up.
You don't even get to use the condo all that often.
Yeah,
but the vortex stays with you.
It's a timeshare and a time vortex share.
Something about seeing the curvature of the Earth made me realize that nothing's important except this condo.
Except we're all so insignificant. Gold-plated pen.
So important that we preserve this precious Earth on which we live, and also have somewhere to go 2 weeks of the year.
That's right.
Then we've got the YouTube drill press versus will it bounce crossover episodes.
Sure, right.
I mean, look, this is important.
It's just
stuff.
Good fun.
Yeah, it's just good old fun, and it's unironic. You know, it's can you cut this drill press and heat it up? Like, can this hot nickel ball be dropped into, you know,
YouTube sensation, superstar YouTube man.
What happens when that happens, when you drop it on Shooter Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. What does Grumpy Cat think of these neodymium magnets?
That's right.
I think that's really nice.
Well, I think we should get it down to one winner. I think at the end there'll be one.
Right. Like, be one YouTube the best thing on trope
yet. Do you think it'll be that guy who's like, hey guys, I'm just here with my Ferrari in this car. You
know, I was going to say Tal Bachman, but that's not right. Ty Lopez.
Ty Lopez?
He's some sort of get out and do your thing guru. He's a real motivation guru.
I know this guy. Is he popular because he's so bad? Like, is he something that's gone viral?
No, I think it's because he's got a couple of Ferraris.
Yeah, and he
reads
just
a book
had an
a day.
Ad that people would open a bunch of, you know, his ads that would show up before things. Or the Asian guy who's really ripped and eats whatever he wants.
Okay. Honestly, I think the water cutter is going to defeat both of them ultimately. He can hide in all the Ferraris he wants. That water cutter is still going to tear into pieces. So
ultimately, the water cutter will come for us all.
Well, I guess that's the ultimate. In the end, the water cutter will just the last thing it'll do is cut right through the Earth, and then it will split open.
Yeah,
and then both halves will float in their opposite ways, out of orbit.
People were worried about the Large Hadron Collider, but I think that the water cutter, if that can cut through the fabric of reality, and just everything will just fold in on itself.
Yeah, but in those moments before, you know, we sort of all fade away because of the cold and things like that.
Horribleness.
Think of the views that video will get. I reckon it'll beat Gangnam Style.
With the final survivor. Well, yeah. Well, yeah, it'll come back from behind. You're right. We weren't expecting it. I was not expecting to say Gangnam Style. Yeah.
I think this is sort of related to that and also sort of related to real estate. But no, I don't think anyone's done this. But, you know, like if you ever go on real estate websites and imagine you can buy a house, some of the places have got like a video that the real estate agent has produced to take you around, and they introduce it and talk about it and stuff. I think a parody one of those that like turns into a horror film or something would be quite good.
Oh, I like that. Should I just write that down at the end here?
Yeah.
Parody
real estate video, maybe. Like maybe they go to the drone shot and goes over the house and just see like someone in like a cloak just
Wielding a scythe.
Wielding a scythe, like striding across the lawn. Right.
Oh, I like that.
And you just piece it together.
That sounds like a whole YouTube channel to me, just different videos of
It's not, Al.
No, I like that a lot.
No, it can't be.
Do you think that would be
it's only one video.
That ants would
part
like?
Part of the idea,
right?
Because
ants often show up in houses. Anyway, this is just
The sketch today that ants would like would be the one that we didn't write down, where we try and smear a gummy center all the way over. A seismograph. Because there would just be a film of sugar that they would be able
to harvest. And then I don't know where you end up putting your seismograph after that. Probably a dusty cupboard, I think.
Yeah, sort of they'd like that.
And they get in there.
Yeah. Anyway, the ants are huge on those things. They're not huge. They're actually quite small. So this is the possible hope. This is the next sketch. A possible hope for a diagnosis that a person receives from a doctor that you might be... a dream in an autistic boy's imagination.
Or just a character in this. Or is that a separate sketch?
I think that's a separate thing. You're also... it's a doctor that has to deal with each patient as a metaphor for...
their own.
The healing in his own life. So emotional healing, some kind of like journey. I mean, they're both in a way... connected, but I think
you have this disease to help me realize that I can't save everybody.
Yeah.
But I think it's tragic. That's the reality.
And I think they should also be separate, because then it can be two separate medical shows, and then they can cross over.
It's really good.
Maybe the doctor from one runs up with a disease.
I think you're right that this is essentially a wonderful parody of like a house type show. Where it can just be episode after episode of just completely so disrespectful to people, with somebody's like, and now you have lupus, or now you have whatever, and then it's just like, oh yes, and then he goes on his own journey to figure out what this could possibly mean.
Yeah, well, it's just part of my path to healing.
Yeah, and each episode the patient dies. It's like an episode of Law and Order, but in reverse, where somebody dies, but at the end, and it's really sad. But not for the doctor who's had a revelation.
He's reaching the top of that pyramid of needs. He's self-actualizing.
Yeah, the end is always a cutback between the person fading away and the doctor getting some huge...
realizing he doesn't need his cane anymore. This could be big for me.
He should be cutting sugar out of his diet.
Like, some of it's just really mundane shit.
At the end, he just dumps some sugar in the sink. He doesn't need it anymore.
And walks away.
I was going to say he throws... each at the end of every episode, he throws away a different cane. It just represents... One just says AIDS on it.
So at the start of the series, he's walking with four canes. Yeah. He slowly realizes he needs one less.
Yep.
And at the end, it's just...
I probably only need three canes.
I guess at the end of the series, it would make sense that either he just has dementia, or
he gets disbarred because all these people have died due to his negligence.
Or he has dementia, and then there's a second revelation that his whole dementia in series is also a character in a non-autistic boy's thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, and then that boy was... dreamed up in some anyway, and also then it goes back in time, and then he shows the old lady dropping a thing into the ocean.
Right.
Then we've got a guy who skips through life protecting himself by making himself vital to the plot of the world that he's in. I think
any conversation you're in, you got to mention the fact that you've got a really important piece of information.
Yeah, right.
That I can't tell you right now.
And I can't tell you in only one dying breath, because that would be That'll it's be way too easy.
Too much to get out in a dying breath. Suffice to say,
I have at least three paragraphs to tell you at some point, but I can't tell you right now. Mm. 3 to 4 paragraphs.
No, I couldn't write it in my own blood with one shaking hand.
I don't have enough blood.
No, not enough blood. Mm. That's it.
Then there's the last chain letter, which is an endangered species that we're trying to find it, and conservationists are trying to help.
To what end? Who knows?
To what end? Well, just, you know, like in the way that you try to keep old languages alive.
I guess that's true, yeah.
Surely some chain letters must have appeared in, like, the film and sound archive, but whatever the letter version of that is.
Yes.
You know,
that empty bin right at the end of the post office sorting queue that nobody goes into. Yeah.
That one. Or probably you would just call it an archive.
Yeah.
I mean, not the bin. I mean, you guess you could call a bin an archive.
Yeah, you certainly would if you were, like, the funny guy in the office.
just throw it in the old archive.
Yes, swish, nothing but archive.
Yes.
And then we got parody real estate video that turns into a horror film, possibly a whole YouTube channel.
Wow. Trouble in paradise, you two.
It's okay. Man, Andy just doesn't like me overstretching ideas by saying all the things that they could be.
When it's hard enough to make one sketch.
Yeah. Mm. And what we have there is...
That's an episode. Thank you guys so much for listening to Two in the Think Tank podcast, a part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
That's fun.
Check out at planetbcasting.
That's the one, yeah.
.com. And check out some of the other cool podcasts on the Broadcasting Network, like...
None of which I can think of right now.
No.
Oh, what?
Like The Weekly Planet.
Nah, don't check out that. It's fine.
No, please.
Check out Do Go On.
Wait.
Stupid Old Studios.
We got to help out some of the small fries. Oh,
yeah, okay.
Thank you a bone.
Yeah, right.
So, Weekly Planet is kind of just a podcast where two guys talk about their favorite topic.
It's two white middle class men in their 30s discussing pop culture. We've got opinions about it. You better believe it.
Yeah.
It's great.
And it's very funny, and it goes for an hour and a half.
Something like that. Like sure, that. Yeah.
And I really enjoy it. Please listen to them. Instead of listening to us.
Yes. Just be honest. If you only have room for one podcast in your life, it's probably better that it's a successful one.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, that
it'll never go away.
Future.
It'll never, ever go away.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll do it forever?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I was wondering what happens if comic book movies die,
Oh,
though?
The bubble,
like,
bursts.
If the
yeah.
bubble bursts. Because it does feel like it's a bubble. Do you ever feel
it
like it's a bubble?
It definitely feels like a bubble, yeah. I think we'll probably brand... Like, we'll talk about blockbusters. We'll talk about a blockbuster sometime.
Sure.
There's always going to be blockbusters. What do you think? Yeah. The indie market's going to take over? How dare
I don't,
you?
I don't
How very
think so.
Dare you?
I don't think so. No, and plus, there'll always be things that come from fiction.
That's very true.
What if fiction is just a phase?
Imagine that. Imagine if every movie becomes just a
biopic.
A biopic on Richard Branson. That could be the future of film.
Yeah, wow.
But if anything was going to be like in the world of biopics, the one of Richard Branson is the one that is the closest to being a comic book movie.
That's
so
very
I feel
true,
like
yeah.
you could probably
he's
still talk
spaceships.
About that.
That's true, yeah.
He's got great hair.
He looks
he's always
like a
hang
lion.
Gliding, hang gliding and kite surfing.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah, he lives on islands.
Yeah.
That's true.
Do you think that if they did a biopic of Richard Branson, you would talk about it on the podcast?
Yes.
Great.
Well, that's good then.
It is great,
I guess there is a future in that
I
podcast.
I like to think so. Even in this dystopian future where it's just... Richard Branson biopics. Yeah.
Reboot. Yeah. Oh, turns out they're rebooting the Richard Branson biopic again.
Yeah, but then what would happen, because with superhero movies, they're so all-encompassing now, that now there's superhero spy movies and there's superhero rom-coms. They've become Richard Branson biopic rom-coms and Richard Branson biopic spy films movies. And so on and so forth. So it'd be a big old umbrella.
Absolutely.
It's fine. Yeah.
There'll be all the prequels and the time.
That's right.
Just a guy with a... We're renting a plane.
That's right, yeah.
You know,
he sure is a guy who has made himself essential to the plot, though. Like, if anyone in the world was worried that it was all a TV show and that their character wasn't, like, central enough to things or interesting enough to get renewed...
Yeah,
it's Branson.
He locked it in when he went water skiing with Obama.
That's so true.
Whatever it was. Yeah. Maybe hang gliding. Not hang gliding. What's the hang gliding on water with the big
kite surfing?
Kite surfing. That's the one. It's not. It's sort of like lean gliding. Anyway, yeah. Good times, guys. So
anyway, listen to the Weekly Planet. It's all about Richard Branson biopics.
Yeah,
it's more like an extreme version of being a teabag. You know,
Richard Branson is
kite surfing.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to know what it's like to be an extreme teabag, go kite surfing. Mm. Anyway, sorry, we're talking about your podcast.
No, I'm done talking about my podcast. It's fine.
Listen to Do Go On. Listen to
Filthy Casuals.
Filthy Casuals.
Auntie Donna have a podcast.
Auntie
here.
Donna, Human Ordinary.
Yeah, it's a great one.
What's the issue one?
Oh, Serious Issues.
Serious Issues. Mm. Listen to that one.
Fantastic. So many podcasts.
And the Josh Earl one.
Don't you know who I am? That's back. You know that's back this week.
Back this week, guys.
Dickwea.
Is that...
I don't know if they use the acronym, but they should.
Yeah,
it's quite
satisfying.
Like our acronym is a long tit.
Long tit.
So hashtag long tit.
Please don't.
T-I-T-T-T.
Now these sketches that we've discussed, are they all public domain? Can people?
Well, somebody wrote to us the other day about that.
Yeah, asking if they could.
If they could make
something with it, and I'm totally fine
with
that.
Look, we are okay if we can get some kind of like reference credit, something in there.
Yeah. Just so if we can just be remembered after we're gone, we ask is that you light a candle every sort of June the 17th.
Yeah, which is two in the think tank.
Remember
day. Long pit day.
Yeah,
Everybody out there, if you want to, you want to jump on one of those sketches. You know what you should do if you're listening to this, if you've come over because of the Weekly Planet.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to all the other episodes because they're really great. As I said, I was moving house the other day and you guys kept me sane.
Oh,
listening to many, many episodes in a row while lifting boxes. It was great.
Well, thank you very much, lovely. Nick. Mm. And I feel like you've kept me sane and grounded during this episode.
Oh, that's great.
I appreciate
it. I'm sorry we talked over you a lot at the start.
No, that's okay.
And I'm sorry that I'm going to talk over you in the future.
That's unacceptable.
No, I know.
Now we've established this rapport. Yeah. It's never happening again. I will not stand for it.
Yeah. And are you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter at Wikipedia Brown. That's
Andy?
Where I am.
And I am at Stupid Old Andy.
And I'm at Alistair TB, and the podcast is at Two in Tank.
I was told recently that a 7-year-old thinks my Twitter handle is really funny. So
he's not wrong.
Finally, somebody.
And if you're a 7-year-old, tell me what you think about my Twitter handle. Yeah, I would love to hear it.
I'd also like to thank my brother George, who's been doing the audio mixing on these podcasts.
If you've noticed that the quality has increased recently,
it is thanks to that man.
Thank you very much.
He's been in the room. He's not allowed to speak.
That's right. Absolutely. He's here this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
He's moving, and I don't like it.
No. Guys?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you know what, guys.
Oh, Nick, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's
my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You're the greatest.
And we love you.
Aww, thanks, guys.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.